Hello and welcome to a Mathsorrel podcast. I'm your host, Chris Hanusa, a professor of mathematics at Queen's College of the City University of New York. Today we're talking Norigabi with our guest today, Nikki. Hi, Nikki.
Hi.
So why don't you first tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm a junior at CUNY Queen's College. I'm a math and computer science major. And I like math a lot.
Yeah.
I think my specialty would probably be mathematical logic.
Okay, and you did an REU last summer?
Yes.
Where was that?
At the University of Chicago.
Okay, nice. This semester you worked on a research project. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
So I kind of just started looking up puzzles because I really love puzzles, and specifically I have a huge connection to Japanese culture. I've been taking the language since I was 12. So I ended up on this site, Nikori, and I found a puzzle called Norigabi, which has a lot of these complicated rules. So I became interested and wanted to try to find, some kind of combinatorics within these Norigabi puzzles.
Okay, can you describe this puzzle for us?
So you're given a board. I only worked on N by N boards, but Norigabi can be expanded to be N by N as well. And on the board, there are these all white spaces, and there are sets of these numbers in various locations.
Some integers.
Yes. And the goal is to close off each number on the board in a box that's completely closed off from every other, I will call it the islands, these sections of the board. And you color in black spaces around them to fit certain rules. The rules are that the black walls must all be in one piece, where diagonals do not count as part of the total piece, and for every 4x4 square, all four of those cannot be colored in black.
All right, so by the end of filling in this grid, you have some white spaces, you have some black spaces. Mm-hmm. The black spaces are all connected, and they're not too connected.
Right.
And the
number of white spaces has to be exactly the number that was in.
Okay, and so all the integers that were in there, so if you see a 4, then it has to be part of an island with 4 white spaces.
Yes.
Okay, and so what exactly did you ask?
Well, originally I was kind of trying to generalize for all boards, which quickly proved to be too intense. In the end, I cut myself down to just 4x4 boards, and after looking at several various boards, I cut down the total number of white spaces that could be on the board anywhere between 4 and 8, and the total numbers that can be placed between 4 and 6.
Okay, and so given these restrictions, what question did you ask?
So how many what we call solvable boards. So solvable boards refers to a board where there are numbers placed in a way that you can solve it following all of the Norigabi rules.
Okay. So what kind of methods did you use when you were thinking about this?
Well, the first I just kind of thought very general, just how many ways are there to place white and black squares on a board. I looked up a bunch of various research that had already been done. I thought about doing an algorithm to solve for the exact number, which quickly proved to get out of hand based on the research that I had read, which sort of lists maybe 6 or 7 different methods to cut down the solution space because it is so large. And then I discovered these things called polyominoes, and I wanted to try to incorporate configurations of these polyominoes into my board to try to get an upper bound for the number of solvable boards.
Okay, so I asked you to bring some number here for us today. What number did you choose?
So the number I chose was 1079 because at the first run-through I did of my I guess the first actual number that I came to when I was going through potential upper bounds was 1,079.
So this is an upper bound on how many possible solutions there are for a 4x4 game.
Given
the restrictions that you put in there.
Right.
Okay. So what did you think was the most difficult part about your project?
Honestly, I think the most difficult part was really understanding the rules of Nudikabe and trying to figure out how that would affect the counting, because there are so many rules. Even on this site, it describes the puzzle as a harder puzzle, you know, than many of the others. And trying to work with the counting and how these rules will interact and overlap each other was definitely one of the biggest things I had trouble with.
And so, is there any other types of methods that you want to talk about, or any other answers that you came up with that you want to talk about?
Well, I did find out that for a maximum amount of 8 white squares on the board, there are very few ways to actually come up with a solvable board. Hmm. And they're extremely specific and kind of just, you know, slight variations on other versions of the same thing. And I also realized, definitely towards the end, because I ended up, like, coming up with a new idea, like, right the last two days before. And I was like, oh, this idea is so much better than my other idea. So I started to work with that. And that's what I based my board on. But I think that one thing I really wanted to consider going forward is the placement of the actual number itself within the island, because that actually counts as several different boards.
Sure.
So that is going to increase my number substantially. So I definitely want to, you know, go back and add that in to all of my numbers, because I didn't consider it prior, even though it does count as a different solution.
Right. So is that what you would focus on if you had more time, or is there something else you wanted?
No, the biggest thing I would focus on is really incorporating the rules better into my estimate.
Mm.
Because I really focused primarily on the, I didn't get to be specific about the rules. I kind of used the rules to give me guidelines that I could expand to all of the specific set of puzzles I was working on.
Okay.
But I wasn't able to get very specific because it was becoming very intense as far as like really saying, okay, no, there cannot be this block of four here. Instead, I kind of did a generalization for how about approximately how many black squares have to cover an island of blah size based on, you know, which polyomino you choose to be there. So I came up with an estimate for that, and that's kind of how I ended up going toward my upper bound, but I really did not get to specify too much, so I want to actually do that next.
Okay, great. So thanks for coming in today and sharing your research. This has been a MathZorro podcast. Learn more at podcast.mathzorro.com. Bye!